Hi, and welcome to All God's Creatures Pet Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about a very special animal, and we're going to play a little game. I'm going to play clips for you of sounds that this animal makes, and I want you to try to guess what animal this is. So hold on a minute, and let me play those clips for you. So what you think that was? Sounded like a bark. Could be a small dog, maybe, but nope. Not a small dog. Hold on. Let me play one more clip. Okay, what the heck was that? That sounded like an alien. But it's not. It's an exotic pet. And what we're talking about here is a sugar glider. They're often called pocket pets. And they're very special and have very special needs. The first sound you heard is called a bark. And this is how sugar gliders call each other, or they may even call you using that same noise. The second sound you heard is what we call a crab. And that's a very unhappy sugar glider. He's giving you a warning, telling you to leave him alone. But today we have a very special guest, Misty Lou. And she's the founder of Sugar Glider University. And she's an expert on sugar gliders. Hi, Misty. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, hello.
I just want to tell you that I'm a graduate of Glider University, and I thoroughly enjoyed all of the classes I took.
Thank you.
I don't think anyone should get a sugar glider without enrolling at Glider University and completing the courses. I don't know what gave you the idea to do it, but it's so helpful because sugar gliders are so fragile. And people need the education. They really do before they ever purchase a sugar glider.
Mm-hmm. Well, we started doing it because we had several instances where people, we found out that they were giving up their sugar gliders. And the whole reason that they were being malnutritioned or having problems with their gliders or whatever the case was basically just due to a lack of understanding of the species. And so we thought, well, if people could just learn about them, that could solve, 80% of the problems out there. People just knew what they were doing.
Yeah. One thing I find amazing, though, about it is veterinarians aren't that familiar with sugar gliders unless they're maybe an avian vet or an exotic vet.
We actually have an exotic vet here who, when she first saw our gliders, she said, I didn't know they could get this big. And she had no idea about anything about them. And so we gave her the courses, and she actually took them. And then about a year later, we were cited at a veterinary conference, and we had a lot of vets and vet technicians taking the classes and emailing us and getting information.
Oh, man, that's excellent. Are the courses at Glider University still free?
Yeah, and they always will be.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're lucky we have free hosting, and we have people who've donated their time to keep up the website. And so everybody's doing it just out of the kindness of their heart, hoping that through education people can understand more about the species and maybe help better the species in their life in captivity.
What different classes do you have now?
Right now we still have the basic, class that teaches about sugar gliders in the wild, which I think is really important for people to understand, so they understand sugar glider behavior and where it comes from. And we have classes on diet and nutrition, basic health and anatomy, and we even have an ethics class, which I think everyone should take, just because it raises some questions about, the ethics and morality of owning a sugar glider and according to what their basic needs are and if that's really possible for us to even provide for them. So, it's things to think about, and I think a lot of people have really thought about different aspects of sugar glider care by taking the courses.
Yeah. Can you get certified in those classes?
We did have a certification process, but because we do everything on a volunteer basis, it's really hard to keep track. We had so many people enrolling that we just decided we just have people take them, and if they do request a certification, we can give it to them. All they have to do is email us.
Okay. Now, Misty, a lot of people don't even know what a sugar glider is.
And if you try to explain it to them, they say, you know, it's a flying squirrel. But gliders aren't
right.
like flying squirrels, are they? They're not rodents.
No. No, they're not. And they're marsupials, which makes it a completely different thing that you're dealing with as far as reproduction and as far as their dietary needs.
Where do gliders originate from?
They originate in Australia and Papua New Guinea over there in those countries, and they were introduced to the United States about a decade ago, illegally.
Oh, great.
But now they're legal in most states to keep as pets, and they do make good pets if you have a lot of time and you are a real animal lover. They make really good pets. So for people who are very dedicated.
Yeah, and there is a commitment there because they live a long time. About how long do they live?
Well, in captivity, they can live up to 15 years. And there have been a few who've lived even longer. However, unfortunately, most of the gliders in captivity end up dying within probably about 5 years because people don't understand their dietary needs or their social needs. Or they get victim to accidents, household accidents when they get out of the cage or something like that.
Mm.
But they can live for a long time with proper care.
And they're nocturnal, which is why they have those really big eyes. About
mm-hmm.
what time do they wake up?
Well, you can actually, the ones in captivity who've been in breeding programs that are successful and really high quality, some of the breeders have experimented with kind of waking them up a little bit earlier with feeding times, and they've had limited success. Some gliders can wake up as early as 6 in the evening. Most gliders, though, generally wake up between, 10 o'clock at night or even later. It just depends on the glider. So, but they are definitely nocturnal.
They require a special diet. You had mentioned that. Can you go into detail about the percentage of protein, fruit, and vegetables that they need?
Mm-hmm. That's a real hot topic in the sugar glider community. But in the wild, they generally browse on acacia gum and leaves and only get and insects. So the majority of their diet in captivity, because we don't have access to all those native plants and gums, should probably be a protein source of like some insects, mealworms, grasshoppers, things like that. A high protein diet would probably be best for them. And then very small percentage of fruits and vegetables. More like the diet should be 50-60% protein, and then the rest fruits and vegetables and acacia gum and plant matter. You can get them to take it, but a lot of people tend to go overboard on the fruits, and they also tend to feed them like baby food, which is really not good for them because they have teeth that they need to be chewing on things. In the wild, they strip the bark to get to the insects, so they need some action masticating, so it's better to give them that opportunity, as well as the enrichment of the protein. If it's live mealworms, live grasshoppers, live crickets, live insects, that gives them a lot of enrichment and makes them healthier.
I've heard people fed on pinkies.
I know. I couldn't do that because I just don't have the stomach for it. But occasionally that would probably be a good idea if you can handle it, because in the wild, occasionally, they will eat small rodents, but that's like a very special treat.
Now, there are places I know that you can buy acacia gum, and what are your feelings on glider aid?
Well, I think glider aid, I haven't seen much of a difference in watching other people use it. I prefer acacia gum because it's closer to their natural diet. I think glider aid's a little, well, personally, I think it's a little sweet. However, if it does help them, if it does recreate something from the wild where it's like a sipping nectar type of thing, then it's probably fine in small amounts. We have had some limited success with acacia gum mixed with water or a little fruit juice and water mix. and that we spread on their branches and stuff that they seem to enjoy. And I think that probably has more chemical composition of things that they need. But again, you know, in captivity, if that's what their generations and their line is used to, then it's probably not going to hurt them. I don't know that there are any huge benefits to glider aid, but I don't see that it's harming them in any way.
Okay. And what kind of fruits can they eat? Is there any fruit they cannot eat?
We have a list on the website about fruits and vegetables or toxic things that they can't have. Offhand, I can't think of fruits that they couldn't eat. There might be some on the website. I just can't remember. Most of the fruits that there are so many fruits to try that they could eat, and we typically just give them a little bit and see if they like it, and you know, and then try to vary it. But again, in the wild, they wouldn't eat that much fruit, so we have to be careful. We think fruit is good, and that sounds good to us, but you know, for a sugar glider, a lot of fruit is probably too much sugar.
Yeah. How do you feel about the pelleted diets?
I don't think there is a proven pelleted diet for a sugar glider. Even in fact, with dogs, sometimes with cats, the pelleted diets haven't done a lot for cats. And cats have been domesticated for quite a long time. Sugar gliders have been domesticated. Well, they actually haven't been domesticated, but they've been in captivity for such a short amount of time that I don't think there's any pelleted diet that could do justice to what they need, especially considering the fact that they are marsupials. They come from a specific location in a specific part of the world with very unique flora and fauna. So I don't think that any pelleted diet so far has come close to giving them what they need. And in addition to that, because of their real needs for enrichment, a pelleted diet just isn't going to give them that.
Okay. Now, they have to have really, really big cages, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
What dimensions of cage do you suggest?
If I were to have the perfect size cage, I would probably make it 10 by 10 by 10. But, you know, that's not really realistic for most people. But I would definitely say at least 6 feet by 6 feet by 4 feet, if they could possibly do that, because these gliders need room to glide. That's what their gliding membrane is for, and that's part of their behavior. So, and they do need to be in colonies. They need to have at least one other companion. So when you have more gliders, they need more space. But we talk about that a little bit in our habitats class at Glider University about why they need a large cage and what we're looking for them to be able to accomplish in the cage. Now, some people who are doing a really good breeding program or who are doing a rescue and they have more gliders than just pet gliders probably don't have the room for that kind of cage. So we, as a interim kind of what it'll do is we say a cage could be a little bit smaller, but they've got to be out of the cage for a majority of the evening to be able to be in a gliding room or in a tent or something where they can actually use their gliding membrane.
Right, and this glider room mm-hmm. needs to be glider-proofed, right?
Right, right. They are small and they are not, it's very hard to get a glider to respond to verbal commands, although we know of at least one breeder who has been successful in getting gliders to actually respond to her verbal commands. But very, 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 very infrequently does that happen. They will get away. They'll try to run through everything. They'll try to chew on wires. They'll try to go through a little tiny, teeny hole, and they can get through from some very small spaces. So you have to make sure all those things are taken care of before you let them out. But it is fun to have a room where you can have things where they can climb on and where you can watch them, because that's the beauty of having a sugar glider. It's like having your own city exhibit at home, and you can watch them interact and glide and run around, and it's very relaxing and it's very rewarding.
Yeah, it's relaxing till you have to catch them because they are very fast.
They are very fast.
Now, another problem that we spoke about earlier was that it's hard to find a competent vet that can treat a sugar glider.
Mm-hmm.
What type of vet should a sugar glider owner look for?
Well, I think your best bet is to find a vet who's willing to listen, who's willing to learn, who's okay with saying, hey, I don't know, but I'd like to find out more. If you can find a vet where you can create that kind of rapport, that's the kind of vet you're looking for. It doesn't matter if they don't know so much about a glider, if they're willing to learn, because there are ways for them to learn. And either that, or if you can find one that actually knows a lot about marsupials and marsupial anatomy, who have taken the time to learn how to do the neutering surgery with the lasers, who will spend time talking to you and understand sugar glider behavior. But you've got to do your research and you've got to interview these vets, because not all vets are alike, and you just need to take your time to interview them and test them on their knowledge. Most of the time we found that vets are more than willing to learn more, or they're more than willing to learn. They really enjoy it. So you just have to do your research and then do an interview.
Okay. And at one time, I know you had vet listings by state mm-hmm. on your website. Do you still have that?
Yeah, we do. Now, they might be a little outdated. We haven't had a chance to check on that in a few months, but we do often get emails from the vet offices letting us know if their offices have moved or anything. But the best thing to do is to call first and make sure they're still treating sugar gliders. Sometimes they get out of exotics and don't mention that to anyone until you call them. But the best thing to do is to call first and make sure. And again, to just ask a few questions to see how well they understand sugar gliders.
And you mentioned briefly a minute ago that sugar gliders need to have a little friend because they live mm-hmm. in colonies.
Mm-hmm.
So to explain why they need that social atmosphere.
Well, they are social animals in the wild, and they do not, contrary to popular belief where people think that they bond quickly to a human, the bonding is not the same as with another sugar glider. The human bonding is more of a relationship of, I know you give me food, I know you will take care of me, that kind of thing. But the bond that they need is a social bond where they talk to each other, where they groom each other. I mean, you've seen sugar gliders. When they get together, they all curl up in a little ball in their little pouch, and you can't tell which one, where one ends and the other begins.
I know.
They love to be together. That's how they thrive. And if you take that away from them, they will become, most of the time, they will become mentally ill. They certainly will not thrive, and they usually will die early if you only have one.
And the mental illness factor that they do, you know, go through
mm-hmm.
is they'll bite their own foot off, or
mm-hmm.
it's crazy the kind of self-mutilation they'll
really,
do.
It's really, really sad, and most of it, I believe, can be avoided by giving them the proper environment and the proper social structure that they need, and this mental illness. I'm impressed with the sugar glider's intelligence. I think they're highly intelligent creatures. I also think they're very social, and if you take that away from them, it's like putting us in a bathroom by ourselves for an interminable amount of time. How would we go crazy? Of course we would, and especially if we didn't know what time it was. And when you're dealing with a sugar glider and they're in a home, it's hard to tell when night and day are, especially if you're in a home where people like to have the lights on at night, or, you know, so that would probably make me crazy too.
mm-hmm. Explain to the listeners the importance of getting a male sugar glider neutered and the negative effects of not getting them neutered.
Well, for one thing, neutering will save them problems with any kind of testicular cancer or anything like that, and any problems with later on with introducing them to new gliders. The male, when he is allowed to stay intact and has all those hormones, in the wild, there's only one male in the colony, and the rest scatter when they get old enough and they start their own colony. If not, they fight to the death. So if you neuter a male sugar glider, it's a lot easier to introduce other gliders into his colony where they can all get along. And as well as when you have multiple sugar gliders, you do not want to have inbreeding. And we have had so many people email us with these stories of interbreeding within close family relationships that only will lead to unhealthy gliders, and it's just a really bad idea. So, and also the fact that there are glider mills out there that just breed incessantly, and there are so many sugar gliders who need homes. And when you're looking at that, you think, why introduce another glider into this when there are plenty of gliders who need homes? So the best thing to do is to neuter the glider, and, you know, that way you can have a larger colony. And I'm telling you, it is like night and day the difference between having two sugar gliders and having four or five or six. It's so much more fun. It's not that much harder to take care of them. In fact, they do better because they are very, very happy. So we found that having a colony of four to six is easier than having just two.
And they're so fun to watch.
They really are, especially when you get a crowd of them together.
And another thing a potential glider owner wants to check out is if it's legal to own sugar gliders in their state. I know in my state, Georgia, you can't own any kind of exotic pet. No sugar gliders, no hedgehogs, nothing. They won't let us have any fun here. What other states do you know of that sugar gliders are illegal to have as pets?
I know that in California, they're not legal. And I know that in New York City, they're not legal. I'm not sure about the other states just because the laws change frequently, but I believe that most states allow sugar gliders, some with a permit, some without. There are some restrictions to some states. It just depends on the state, and that does change. So, and there are people that are trying to change the laws and make things different one way or the other, so it's always good to stay updated on that.
I even called our Department of Agriculture and said, you know, I took courses on the care of sugar gliders, and can I get a permit to have one? No. No, you can't.
Well, unfortunately, for example, here in Texas, we have glider mills that they will let, once their breeding pairs get too old, they will let them loose outside. And the government has had cases like this where they're letting them loose into the native wildlife, and that's just not a good idea for either the gliders or the native wildlife. I can't imagine that the gliders live very long, but if they did, and if they did start breeding, we don't know what that could do to the natural, you know, flora and fauna that are in our country. So I think that's one of the concerns they have of why they, some of them are not allowing them to be legalized.
Yeah, that is what they told me, that they're afraid that it will mess up the ecosystem if they're released. The only problem I have with that is that every state that borders Georgia, it's legal to have sugar gliders.
I think that cat is out of the bag. I think that the only thing that they should do now really is allow them to be legal everywhere, just have some sort of educational requirement or something of that nature rather than just saying you can't have them, because there are people who are going to have them anyway. And they are legal everywhere around there, so if people are letting them go around there, the problem's already there.
Yeah.
So I think really education is a much better deterrent than that kind of thing.
I agree. Is there any other message you want to get out to the public about sugar gliders?
I just think that it's really important to remember that these are exotic animals, and that if you decide to take on the responsibility of caring for sugar gliders, that you should do it knowing exactly what you're getting into and realizing these are not a pet for children, that this is something that is like taking care of a small zoo exhibit, and it can be very rewarding. You just have to know exactly what you're getting into before you do it. And if you do that, there are plenty of gliders who would love to have a home where they're well taken care of.
Okay, well, why don't you give them your contact information and website address?
Okay. You can contact me at admin@glideruniversity.org, and our website is www.glideruniversity.org.
Well, I thank you so much for joining me today and talking about these very, very special animals.
Folks, well, thank you for having me.
Enroll and take the classes at Glider University before you even think of getting a sugar glider. They are so fragile, and they really must have the proper care. Thanks for listening to All God's Creatures Pet Podcast. Great and small, we love them all.